We're reading chapter 9 of the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. This chapter is entitled The Supreme Character of Dadabharat. So we haven't heard who Dadabharat is yet. But we've heard that Bharat Maharaj, maybe we could turn the volume down a little, please. Bharat Maharaj became attached to a deer. And he died thinking of that deer, even though he was a renounced, exalted devotee. And he took his next birth as a deer. But by Krishna's grace, he was given the ability to remember his birth as Bharat Maharaj. So therefore, although in a deer body, he was very, very careful. And practically speaking, he didn't associate with any of the other deer. He left his mother deer because, after all, this was just his mother in this birth. And he's had thousands and thousands of mothers. So he left her and went to the place where he had performed austerities before, Pulaha Ashram, the ashram, or the holy place where the great sage Pulaha performed his sadhana, his practices. So he basically, in the body of a deer, was waiting. What was he waiting for? He was waiting to leave that body. He knew that he was a soul, that he was eternal. He was given remembrance, again, of his past life. He knew that he was eternal, and he just waited to see where Krishna would place him next. And where did Krishna place him next? In which body? So we're going to hear about that soul, that exalted personality, who Rishabhdev Maharaj even certified him as so exalted. That great soul who taken his birth as a deer, next took his birth in a family of brahmanas, and his name at that time became Jadabharat. What does Jada mean?
Dull.
Jad means practically, huh?
Solid.
I don't know.
You say the dumb person.
Yes. Dull, like a piece of wood. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued to narrate. And we're going to hear about the most unique and amazing qualities of the character of Dadabharat in this chapter. Now, what is that quality going to be that will really be spoken of directly in the last verse of the chapter? So when we get to that verse, we'll listen very carefully. I'll tell you which one it is when we're there. So keep thinking, noting, trying to understand as we hear his life. What quality is supreme and wonderful and so glorious? So Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, Prakrit Maharaj, after giving up the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj took his birth in a very pure Brahmana family. There was a Brahmana who belonged to the dynasty of Angira. He was fully qualified with Brahminical qualifications. He could control his mind and senses. He had studied the Vedic literatures and other subsidiary literatures. He was expert in giving charity. And he was always satisfied, tolerant, very gentle, learned, and non-envious. He was self-realized and engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. He remained always in a trance. He had 9 equally qualified sons by his first wife. And by his second wife, he begot twins, a brother and a sister, of which the male child was said to be the topmost devotee and foremost of saintly kings, Bharat Maharaj. This then is the story of the birth he took after giving up the body of a deer. I'll read a little from Prabhupada's purport here. Bharat Maharaj was the firstborn son of Maharaj Rishabdev in a rich Kshatriya warrior family, aristocratic. But due to his willful negligence of his spiritual duties, that means willful, what does that word imply there?
Conscious,
yes, exactly. There was a free choice that he made, a conscious, willful choice to give up his spiritual duties, negligence of his spiritual duties, and his excessive attachment to an insignificant deer. So he, at some point, he made a choice. He was obliged to take birth as the son of a deer. However, due to his strong position as a devotee, he was gifted with the remembrance of his past life. Being repentant, what did he repent? He repented that he had given up everything. He had a power. He was a powerful king and a huge kingdom. He had family, he had wife, children, everything. And he had given that up, became completely renounced, and was in the ashram, very satisfied, but yet, he again became attached to something material. He gave those things up, feeling them as hindrances, obstacles in his spiritual advancement, and yet he became attached to an animal. So therefore he repented and lamented his foolish and willful choice, because he had lost so much, and what had he had gained? So lamentation, actually, repentance, is a important element of the process. This will be described in the 6th canto when we hear about Ajamila. So being repentant, he remained in a solitary forest and always thought of Krishna. That was the deer. Then he was given the chance to take birth in a very good Brahmana family. Text 3. Due to his being especially gifted with the Lord's mercy, what was that gift? That he could remember the incidents of his previous lives. Bharat Maharaj could remember the incidents of his past life. Although he received the body of a Brahmana, he was still very much afraid of his relatives and friends who were not devotees. Why was he afraid? Because the attachment, yes, and their association, because he saw that as soon as you associate with something, you become attached to it. And he was very cautious of such association, and you become attached to it, and also you gain what they're attached to, you catch. Like if they have a cold and they sneeze, you catch a cold. So he was always very cautious of such association because he feared that he would again fall down. He had just experienced the results, and he did not want to become entangled in another birth. He was very, very, very serious and fixed and determined in his decision to not use his life for anything other than spiritual advancement. And he rejected everything that he considered might be a hindrance to that. So he didn't want to fall down from his realizations. So what did he do? Consequently, he manifested himself before the public eye as a madman, dull, blind, and deaf, so that others would not try and talk to him. In this way, he saved himself from bad association. Within, he was always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and chanting the Lord's glories. So outside, he acted as if he was retarded, or the contemporary term, mentally challenged. An old person is someone who is age, youth challenged, right? So he was very cautious. So he manifested himself as a retarded person, dull, blind, deaf, no brain, a madman, so that others would not try and talk to him. In this way, he saved himself from bad association. How serious he was. Within, he was always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord and chanting the Lord's glories, which save one from the bondage of fruitive activities. In this way, he saved himself from the onslaught of non-devotee association. An onslaught. Prabhupada's purport. Every living entity is bound by different activities due to association with the modes of nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Karanam Gunasangasya Sarasad Joni Janmasu. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. We get different types of bodies amongst 8,400,000 species according to our karma. Karmana daiva netrena. We work under the influence of material nature contaminated by the three modes, and thus we get a certain type of body according to superior order. This is called karma bandha. To get out of this karma bandha, one must engage himself in devotional service. Then one will not be affected by the modes of material nature. So here in Prabhupada's purport, he's explaining the process to get free from the bondage of karma. Each and every one of us are born under the supervision, daivanaitrena, karmana, and our own karma, under the supreme supervision of the Lord, and according to our karma, we are born in the material world and have specific tendencies, a specific body and a specific tendencies and characteristics that are assigned to us by the laws of nature under Krishna's supervision and according to our karma. So there is only one way to get free from this, and that is to follow what Jada Bharat did, and that was to always think of Krishna within. Mam Chayo, and then one will not identify with the material nature, with his body, with his karma. Even though the karma may occur, the onslaughts of material nature may come, but he will not think they are hitting him. He will know that he is eternal. But this takes very deep devotional service. Mam chayo vibhacharena bhakti yogena sevate saganan samatit yaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, that means his consciousness, one whose consciousness is continuously fixed on Krishna. Such a person at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. To remain immune from the material qualities, one must engage himself in devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. That is the perfection of life. When Maharaj Bharata took birth as a Brahmana, he was not very interested in the duties of a Brahmana. But within he remained a pure Vaishnava, always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. As advised in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru. This is the only process by which one can be saved from the danger of repeated birth and death. So Jad Bharat, outside madman, practically speaking, dull brain, inside exalted devotee, always thinking of Krishna. So what did the father think of him? How did he deal with his son? Born in such a high Brahmin family. The Brahmin's father's mind, this is text 4, was always filled with affection for his son, Jadabharat, Bharat Maharaj. Therefore, he was always attached to Jadabharat. Because Jadabharat was unfit to enter the Grihastha Ashram, he was not fit to get married. He simply executed the purificatory process up to the end of the Brahmachari Ashram. Although Jadabharat was unwilling to accept his father's instructions, the Brahmana nonetheless instructed him in how to keep clean and how to wash, thinking that his son would the son should be taught by his father. But Jadabharat had no interest in any process that would elevate him, because he was already elevated. He wasn't interested in taking the slow Vedic process like the steps to the top of the building. He was already on the top floor. He was always thinking of Krishna within. So he had already attained the results, and he did not want to be disturbed. He wanted to keep up his image of being a fool, so everyone would leave him alone. So therefore he did everything wrong. Text 5. Jadabharat behaved before his father like a fool. Despite his father's adequately instructing him in Vedic knowledge, he behaved in that way so that his father would know that he was unfit for instruction and would abandon the attempt to instruct him further. So Jadabharat would behave in a completely opposite way. Although instructed to wash his hands after evacuating, he would wash them before. Nonetheless, his father wanted to give him Vedic instructions during the spring and summer. He tried to teach him the Gayatri Mantra along with Omkar and Vyariti. Vyariti, I think that's the mantras chanted to appease the different planets, to lighten one's karma, to have the benedictions of the planets come to one. So he taught him Gayatri Mantra, this mantra, that mantra. But after 4 months, his father was not successful in instructing him. The Brahmin father of Jadabharat considered his son his heart and soul, and therefore he was very much attached to him. Ooh. Yeah, he thought it wise to educate his son properly, and being absorbed in this unsuccessful endeavor, he tried to teach his sons the rules and regulations of Brahmacharya, including the execution of Vedic vows, cleanliness, study of the Vedas, the regulative method, service to the spiritual master, and the method of offering a fire sacrifice. He tried his best to teach his son in this way, but all his endeavors failed. So he was feeling a loss. In his heart, he hoped that his son would be a learned scholar, but all his attempts were unsuccessful. Like everyone, this Brahmana was attached to his home, and he had forgotten, because he was so absorbed in his family and Jadabharat and training him, he had forgotten that he himself would someday die. Death, however, was not forgetful. At the proper time, death appeared and took him away. Thereafter, Brahmana's younger wife, after entrusting her twin children, the boy and the girl, to the elder wife — the younger wife was the mother of Jadabharat — she departed for Patilok, voluntarily dying with her husband. So the father was attached to Jadabharat and cared for him. And naturally, the mother was attached to Jadabharat, because every mother is attached to her son. And she cared for him. But yet he acted like a dull fellow. So they died. Who was left to care for Jadabharat? Practically speaking, no one. After the father died, the 9 stepbrothers of Jadabharat, who considered Jadabharat dull and brainless, abandoned the father's attempt to give Jadbharat a complete education. The stepbrothers of Jadbharat were learned in the three Vedas, the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, and Yajur Veda, which very much encouraged fruitive activity. The nine brothers were not at all spiritually enlightened in devotional service to the Lord. Consequently, they could not understand the highly exalted position of Jadbharat. Degraded men, this is 10, degraded men are actually no better than animals. The only difference is that animals have four legs and such men only have two. These two-legged animalistic men used to call Jadbharat mad, dull, deaf, and dumb. They mistreated him, and Jadbharat behaved for them like a madman who is deaf, blind, or dull. He did not protest or try to convince them that he was not so. If others wanted him to do something, he acted according to their desires. Whatever food he could acquire by begging or by wages, and whatever came of its own accord, be it a small quantity, palatable, stale, or tasteless, he would accept and eat. He never ate anything for sense gratification because he was already liberated from the bodily conception, which induces one to accept palatable or unpalatable food. He was full in the transcendental consciousness of devotional service, and therefore he was unaffected by the dualities arising from the bodily conception. Actually, his body was as strong as a bull's, and his limbs were very muscular. He didn't care for winter or summer, wind or rain, and he never covered his body at any time. He lay on the ground and never smeared oil on his body or took a bath. Because his body was dirty, his spiritual effulgence and knowledge were covered, just as the splendor of a valuable gem is covered by dirt. He only wore a dirty loincloth and his sacred thread, which was blackish. Understanding that he was born in a Brahmana family, people would call him a Brahma Bandhu and other names, the son of a Brahmana, but not a Brahmana himself. Actually, he was most exalted, but he was covering himself completely. Being thus insulted and neglected by materialistic people, he wandered here and there. Purport. Srila Narottama Das Thakur, his son, Deha Smriti Nahiyar Samsara Bandhana Kahantar. One who has no desire to maintain the body, or who is not anxious to keep the body in order, and who is satisfied in any condition, must be either mad or liberated. Actually, Bharat Maharaj in his birth as Jadbharat was completely liberated from material dualities. He didn't care about cold and heat, didn't care about good food, bad food, didn't care what people thought of him, clean, dirty. He was just completely detached from his body, fully. He was experiencing himself as a soul. So he didn't care. He was a Paramhamsa and therefore did not care for material comfort. Jadbharat used to work only for food. So outside one way, inside another. His stepbrothers took advantage of this and engaged him in agricultural field work in exchange for some food. But actually he did not know how to work very well in the field. He did not know where to spread dirt or where to make the ground level or uneven. His brothers used to give him broken rice, oil cakes, the chaff of rice, worm-eaten grains, and burned grains that had stuck to the pot. But he gladly accepted all of this as if it was nectar. He did not hold any grudges and ate all this very gladly. This is quite amazing. Purport. The platform of Paramhamsas described in Bhagavad Gita, his his father, in, as Maharaj Rishabdev, one father from Bharat Maharaj, he was also acted similar to this one in the last stages of his life. He just didn't care. He separated himself from the body, and the only way one can do that is when one is experiencing transcendental bliss inside. Otherwise, the soul will be seeking bliss in the realm of Maya. So this is the Paramhamsa platform. The platform of Paramhamsa is described in Bhagavad Gita 2.15. Sama dukkha sukham dhiram soma tatyaiva kalpate. When one is callous to all duality, he doesn't care about the dualities of life, the happiness and distress of this material world, one is fit for amritattva, eternal life. Bharat Maharaj was determined to finish his business in this material world, and he did not at all care for the world of duality. He was complete in Krishna consciousness and was oblivious to good and evil, happiness and distress, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Dvaite badra badra gyan sabha mano dharma e bhala e manda sabha brahma. In the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, saying this is good and this is bad is all a mistake. One has to understand that in the material world of duality, to think that this is good or that this is bad is simply a mental concoction. However, one should not imitate this consciousness. One should actually be situated on the spiritual platform of neutrality. For oneself, looking at the material world neutrally, not being averse to it, and not being attached to it. And for a Vaishnava, that means Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yuktai Vairagya Uchate, that everything is Krishna's, let me use it in Krishna's service. Now the plot begins to thicken here. So this was Jadbharat's situation, completely on the Paramhamsa platform, experiencing spiritual life internally and out acting externally as if mad. Text 12. At this time, being desirous of obtaining a son, a leader of dacoits. What's a dacoit? Yes. Mafiosos. Daku. The gangster element. At this time, being desirous of obtaining a son, a leader of dacoits who came from a Sudra family wanted to worship the goddess Bhadrakali by offering her in sacrifice a dull man who was considered no better than an animal. The leader of the dacoits captured a man-animal for sacrifice, but he escaped, and the leader ordered his followers to find him. They ran in different directions but could not find him. Wandering here and there in the middle of the night, covered by dense darkness, they came to a paddy field where they saw the exalted son of the Angira family, Jadabharat, who was sitting in an elevated place guarding the field against the attacks of deer and wild pigs. The followers and servants of the dacoit chief considered Jadabharat to possess qualities quite suitable for a man-animal, so they thought he was retarded. And they decided that he was a perfect choice for the sacrifice. Their faces bright with happiness, they bound him with ropes and brought him to the temple of the goddess Kali. Prabhupada explains in the purport. In the body of a Brahmin, Bharat Maharaj appeared deaf and dumb. Yet, he was the most intelligent man in the world. Nonetheless, being completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he remained in that condition and did not protest being brought before the deity for slaughter. As we have learned from the previous verses, he was very strong and could have very easily avoided being bound with ropes, but he did not do anything. He simply depended on the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his protection. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes surrender unto the Supreme Lord in this way. Maravira kabi yo istatohara nitya dasa prati tuya alikara. My Lord, I am now surrendered unto you. I am your eternal servant. And if you like, you can kill me, or if you like, you can protect me. In any case, I am fully surrendered unto you. So Jadbharat, they brought him bound with ropes in front of the goddess Kali, and what was their intention? To offer him, to slit his throat and offer him in sacrifice to the deity. So they brought him. And after this, this is text 15. All the thieves, according to their imaginative ritual for killing animalistic men. So this Prabhupada explains in his purport, the Sanskrit word is svadvidhina. That means their own rules. They made up their own rules, not shastric rules, because something like this is obviously not at all sanctioned in the shastras. They made up something. So according to their imaginative ritual for killing animalistic men, they bathed Jadbharat, they dressed him in new clothes, they decorated him with ornaments befitting an animal, they smeared his body with scented oils and decorated him with tilak, sandalwood pulp and garlands, they fed him sumptuously and then brought him before the goddess Kali, offering her incense, lamps, garlands, parched grains, newly grown twigs, sprouts, fruits, and flowers. In this way they worshipped the deity before killing the man-animal, and they vibrated songs and prayers and played drums and bugles. Jadbharat was then made to sit down before the deity. At this time, one of the thieves, acting as the chief priest, was ready to offer the blood of Jadbharat, whom they imagined to be an animal man, to the goddess Kali, to drink as a liquor. He therefore took up a very fearsome sword, which was very sharp, and consecrating it by the mantra of Bhajra Kali, raised it to kill Jadbharat. All the rogues and thieves who had made arrangements for the worship of goddess Kali were low-minded and bound to the modes of passion and ignorance. They were overpowered by the desire to become very rich. Therefore, they had the audacity to disobey the injunctions of the Vedas, so much so that they were prepared to kill Jadbharat, a self-realized soul born in a Brahmin family. Due to their envy, these dacoits brought him before the goddess Kali for sacrifice. Such people are always addicted to envious activities, and therefore they dared to try to kill Jadbharat. Jadbharat was the best friend of all living entities. He was no one's enemy, and he was always absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was born of a good Brahmin father, and killing him was forbidden, even though he might have been an enemy or an aggressive person. In any case, there was no reason to kill Jadbharat, and the goddess Kali, could not bear this. She could immediately understand that these sinful dacoits were about to kill a great devotee of the Lord. Suddenly, the deity's body burst asunder, and the goddess Kali personally emerged from it in a body burning with an intense and intolerable effulgence. We'll read a little from Prabhupada's purport. The Vedas did not at all sanction the killing of Jadbharat by rogues and thieves. So consequently, the goddess Bhajra Kali emerged from the deity to give protection to the Lord's devotee. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that due to the Brahman effulgence of such a devotee as Jadbharat, the deity was fractured. only thieves and rogues in the mode of passion, ignorance, and maddened by material opulence, offer a man in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. This is not sanctioned by Vedic instructions. Presently, there are many hundreds and thousands of slaughterhouses throughout the world that are maintained by a puffed-up population mad for material opulence. Such activities are never supported by the Bhagavata school. So maddened by material opulence, that means thinking themselves, madly thinking themselves powerful. They don't care for anyone else's suffering. I can do it. Why? Because I feel like it. Because I am more powerful than this animal, then I can kill him. I can slit his throat. So mad, made insane by their material opulence. Unsanctioned. So Goddess Kali was furious that Jadbharat was, they were attempting to kill him. Text 18. Intolerant of the offenses committed, the infuriated goddess Kali flashed her eyes. So she burst from the deity, because different from a deity of Krishna, because the deity of Krishna is none different from Krishna, but the deity of the goddess of goddess Kali was different. So the deity broke open due to the effulgence of Jadbharat, and the actual deity, the person Bhadrakali, emerged. What did she look like? She was infuriated. Her eyes flashed, and she displayed her fierce curved teeth. Her reddish eyes glowed, and she displayed her fearsome features. She assumed a frightening body, as if she were prepared to destroy the entire creation. Leaping violently from the altar, she immediately decapitated all the rogues and thieves with the very sword with which they had intended to kill Jadbharat. She then began to drink the hot blood that flowed from the necks of the beheaded rogues and thieves, as if this blood were liquor. Indeed, she drank this intoxicant with her associates, who were witches and female demons. Being intoxicated with this blood, they all began to sing very loudly and dance as though prepared to annihilate the entire universe. At the same time, they began to play with the heads of the rogues and thieves, tossing them about as if they were balls. When an envious person, text 19, commits an offense before a great personality, he is always punished in the way mentioned above. And here is the final verse that speaks directly of Jadbharat's incredible character. Sukadeva Goswami then said to Prickit Maharaj, "O Vishnudatta, those who already know that the soul is separate from the body, who are liberated from the invincible knot in the heart, who are always engaged in welfare activities for the living entities, and who never contemplate harming anyone, are always such persons," and these are the qualities of Jadbharat, "such persons are always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who carries his disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, and acts as the supreme time to kill the demons and protect his devotees. The devotee always takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, at all times, even if threatened by decapitation, they remain unagitated. For them, this is not at all wonderful. This isn't even the wonderful part of their character. That even when someone is trying to cut off their head, they don't become disturbed, because they don't think themselves the head. They're so experienced on the spiritual platform. And they're so surrendered to Krishna's desire that nothing that can occur in the material world can disturb them." Prickit Maharaj himself was like that. He was cursed to die. remained undisturbed, focused on Krishna. The knot, the invincible knot that ties us to the false identification of the body had been severed. Knowing that the body is not me, and who am I? Jeev Krishna Das, Avishvas, Karle, Tare, Dukanai, Kale, Toa, Dukanai. I'm Krishna's servant, and that's it. And what you do, if you want with me, Krishna, I'm not my body, I'm yours. Internally focused, externally trying to serve Krishna and accepting reality as Krishna's desire. Prabhupada's purport. These are some of the great qualities of a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll read them again. They know that the soul is separate from the body. They don't identify with the body as the self. They know themselves as eternal. They experience themselves as eternal. They are liberated from the invincible knot in the heart. They don't identify again with the body. They are always engaged in welfare activities for all living entities. And they never contemplate harming anyone. They are only interested in serving and helping. They are full of compassion. Titikshava karunika surida savadehinam ajatta shatrava shantu sarva sarabhusanam. These are the great qualities, some of the great qualities of a pure devotee. First, the devotee is firmly convinced of his spiritual identity. He never identifies with the body. He is firmly convinced that the spirit soul is different from the body. Consequently, he fears nothing. After all, who can hurt him? Even though his life may be threatened, he is not at all afraid. Because his life cannot be threatened on the highest level. He does not even treat an enemy like an enemy. Such are the qualifications of a devotee. Devotees are always fully dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord is always eager to give them all protection in all circumstances. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Character of Jadavarat. Thank you very much. I guess any questions or comments? Sounded like it. There's not any more information about that. Fruit of the potency, the spiritual potency emanating from his body, it actually cracked the deity. Any other questions or comments? So how accepting he was being in Krishna's hands. That's the only way to get free from anxiety in this world. Still one has to do one's duty in Krishna's service. Not accepting.
Why is it that he did not choose to become renounced?
What's more renounced than what he was?
Well, this is more enough, but much more difficult.
much more
difficult
what he was doing. But for him,
seems
why did he stay at home?
Humanly impossible.
You mean for you and me? But yet this, we'll hear his instructions beginning in the next chapter. We can't be like that, but that principle, Rishabdev Maharaj also exhibited the same principle. He just lived so fully on the spiritual platform that he just didn't care what was going on outside at all. He just didn't want to be entangled in the material world at all. So he just kept it all inside. He just didn't want to deal with the outside world at all. And he just accepted, oh, if there's some karma coming to me, this must be Krishna's arrangement. Astounding. Rishabdev Maharaj did it. So. Okay, tomorrow we'll hear some of his teachings. So it's, we can understand that this isn't the this isn't our recommended path to be quite like this. But yes, yet the principle of acceptance and depending on Krishna's mercy, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying, surrender to Krishna, is part of our path. It is our path. Serving Krishna and accepting his dispensation.
You said that the deity of Krishna is no different to Krishna, but the deity of Goddess Kali is different to Krishna.
Yeah. So the deity of Krishna has no inside like that. There's no, it's not like there's a deity and then inside the deity there's the person. That's how it is with, it can be like that with a demigod. The deity is different from the actual spiritually potent or the actual entity. But with, in Krishna's case, the deity, because it's his energy anyway. So Krishna actually manifests himself through that form completely. So sometimes there have been examples of deities performing activities, but not breaking open first and then something inside doing it. Because Krishna is no different from the deity form in any way. That's the principle. But the goddess Kali is not God. She's a demigoddess. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So tomorrow we'll continue with the amazing story of Jagavarat.